Welcome back to the Singular Links podcast. I'm Tony Parrish, aka Slinker. In this episode, we explore a particular kind of singular link that I call transformation by reduction. This episode follows the early curiosity of Claude Shannon, the father of information theory, and shows how stripping a complex system down to its most basic elements can unlock entirely new possibilities. Rather than adding layers of complexity, Shannon revealed how breaking things apart into their smallest meaningful units can reorganize whole fields. This is chapter 2 of the book Singular Links. I hope you enjoy Transformation by Reduction. Transformation by Reduction. It was the 1920s in rural Michigan, not far from the little logging town of Gaylord, and a skinny boy in a wool cap was wondering, what's a better way to get information? He had connected a battery to the wire fence that ran to his friend's house half a mile away. The fence wire served as a simple telegraph system, with a key to tap out Morse code at one end and a sounder at the other end. The boy was the son of a small-town businessman and schoolteacher, and his name was Claude Shannon. This was a time before most homes in the county had telephones. To the two boys, the idea of speaking across the distance without leaving their farmyards was a scientific marvel. Flashlights would not carry that far, especially in daytime. Sure, the fence was prone to failure, as when conditions were snowy or rainy, but it gave them a line that turned the field between them into a channel for words. Little Claude Shannon liked the problem as much as the solution. The way he saw it, there were two challenges. The first was scientific. How do you make sure the receiver gets the message? As he discovered, inserting strips of rubber or leather between the wire and the wooden fence poles helped insulate the line from grounding out and kept the signal strong enough to carry. The second challenge was clarity. How do you make sure the person at the other end of the line understands your message? He realized that short, precise signals, repeated when needed, reduced the risk of misunderstanding. I imagine Shannon was the kind of boy who never stopped asking why. You know, that boy who presses his parents with a question, listens to the answer, and then fires back with another why, again and again. What's a better way to get information? This is the question that Shannon would pursue for the rest of his life, eventually growing up to become the father of information theory, shaping how the world sends and stores information, and laying the groundwork for computers, the internet, and the digital age. In Shannon's paper, A Mathematical Theory of Communication, he wrote, "The fundamental problem of communication is that of reproducing at one point either exactly or approximately a message selected at another point." Shannon's curiosity led him to take things apart and see how they worked, and to put things together to accomplish something new. He enjoyed fixing other people's radios. He grew to be a lifelong tinkerer who crafted many novel devices: a trumpet that blew flames, a rocket-propelled frisbee, foam shoes for walking on the surface of a lake, a toy clown that juggled, a robot mouse with the capacity for memory and logic to find its way out of a maze. And then there was Shannon's useless box. It looked like a plain wooden box with a switch on it. If you flipped the switch on, a little robot arm would emerge from the top, flip the switch off, and then retreat back inside. That was it. That was all the machine was built to do, to shut itself off. The science fiction author, Arthur C. Clarke, upon seeing the box on Shannon's desk, reportedly quipped that there was something unspeakably sinister about a machine that does nothing, absolutely nothing, except switch itself off. To Shannon, the tinkerer, this sinister box was incredibly funny. Shannon graduated from the University of Michigan in 1936 and took a job as a research assistant at MIT. His love of dismantling things and rebuilding them landed him in the lab of Vannevar Bush, the future director of the U.S. Office of Scientific Research and Development, OSRD, which oversaw projects such as radar and the early development of atomic weapons. Shannon's job was to maintain what was, at that time, the world's most advanced computer, a sprawling contraption of gears, shafts, pulleys, vacuum tubes, and rotating disks called the differential analyzer. The machine weighed several tons and filled an entire room. Long belts transferred motion from one wheel to another, and the output traced a line on graph paper. Shannon's job was to make sure it ran properly, tightening belts, fixing jams, and recalibrating delicate linkages. But he discovered that the machine's complex nature made it fragile. The scientists would enter some information, set the machine in motion, and hope it would produce the correct answer. Dust or wear on a gear might throw off calculation. Belts might slip. Alignments drifted. Complex problems required an elaborate choreography of interconnected components, each one multiplying the chance of error. To Shannon, it resembled a Rube Goldberg device, temperamental and overbuilt to solve problems that could possibly be solved more simply. The engineering challenge was essentially the same as his childhood fence telegraph system. Again, he wondered, what's a better way to get information? Shannon realized that the computer's switches were essentially implementing the binary logic he had studied as an undergraduate. This insight became his master's thesis. He demonstrated that any complex calculation could be simplified into a series of true or false statements. This meant intricate problems could be solved physically using basic open and closed electrical circuits, creating the foundations for digital computing. After the U.S. entered World War II, Shannon moved to Bell Telephone Laboratories in 1941. At the time, Bell Labs was a unique hub of innovation. It brought together an unparalleled concentration of scientific and engineering talent, all fueled by immense resources and the urgency of a nation at war. At Bell, Shannon was assigned to the problem of encryption. The stakes were clear. Messages needed to reach allies without being compromised by enemies. The U.S. and Britain relied on electromechanical cipher machines for secure communication, such as the Bell Labs designed Sigsaly. The system worked by transforming the sound of a voice into a numerical stream and mixing it with a random key. Only someone with an identical key could decipher the voice message. While ingenious, the system was unwieldy. It was massive, consumed enormous amounts of power, and required that physical key records be perfectly synchronized. Other cipher machines had similar drawbacks, often being too slow or vulnerable if their keys were ever compromised. The analog systems like Sigsaly and the MIT differential analyzer were elaborate constructions straining against their own limitations. They were fragile, sensitive to noise, and difficult to scale. In Shannon's time, the frequent response to an engineering challenge was to add more engineering. To overcome noisy signals in telecommunications, for instance, the response was to amplify the signal, just make it louder. But Shannon wasn't satisfied with simply improving existing communication methods. He sought fundamental principles of information. His thinking shifted from simply improving communication to a far more ambitious goal. As he saw it, the question evolved from what's a better way to get information to what's the perfect way to get information. He set out to develop a system as reliable and elegant as a mathematical proof. This pursuit led him, in the years after the war, to develop information theory, which he formalized in his groundbreaking 1948 paper, A Mathematical Theory of Communication. In his paper, Shannon established a new definition for information. It's one of those definitions that, in retrospect, seems obvious, but at the time was novel and counterintuitive. Shannon created a link. He argued that information was not about content, but about uncertainty. His theory suggested that the purpose of a communication system isn't to convey meaning, but to actually reproduce a message from one point to another. The system simply needs to handle the statistical properties of the signal, the meaning of the message, whether it's a poem or a grocery list, is irrelevant to the engineering problem of transmitting it to the person at the other end of the signal. By abstracting information into a universal, quantifiable form, Shannon created a paradigm that could be applied to any communication system. This shift allowed engineers to create robust systems that work on any type of data, treating all messages as strings of numbers, regardless of their semantic content. Taking a step back and squinting, you can see how Shannon's genius was in realizing that what makes a message informative is not its meaning, but the uncertainty it resolves. The more predictable a message, the clearer the information. From there, he asked, what is the smallest possible unit of uncertainty? The answer was a single binary choice, a yes or no, a zero or one. He called this smallest unit of uncertainty the bit. By framing every message as a sequence of bits, Shannon reduced the sprawling complexity of communication to its atomic parts. This was Shannon's singular link, the realization that all information could be broken down to the same atomic elements. If all information could be represented as bits, then any message could be reliably transmitted. This allowed him to reconstitute a completely new framework for communication, independent of content, context, or noise. Shannon's lesson teaches the essence of transformation by reduction, or simply, reductive transformation. Rather than layering complexity, true innovation often arises when you strip a system down to its irreducible units, its atoms. Once revealed, these atoms can be recombined to create novelty. If you take a step back and look at Shannon's process, you see that the framework of reductive transformation involves atomization and then reconstitution to create a paradigm shift. Atomization is the deliberate act of reconstructing a subject and exposing its core components. What is the smallest unit that still carries the essence? In Shannon's case, he saw beyond the inherent meaning of information and recognized its underlying logic. Since information is the removal of uncertainty, it can be reduced to a system of binary logic, true or false, on or off, one or zero. Reconstitution is the creative reassembly of these atomic elements. Information that's encoded with a system of binary logic can be decoded and reconstituted in its original form. Finally, the paradigm shift is the realization that this system can be applied to other domains. Shannon's theory of information began with language, but it covers all types of information, from letters to sounds to images, encoded, transmitted, and decoded at the other end. What Shannon uncovered wasn't just a better way to send messages, but a clue to how singular links work and how small insights can reorganize complex systems. That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to explore more ideas like this, you can find much, much more at singularlinks.com. If you're feeling frisky, tell your friends and family, in-laws and outlaws. Music was provided by the Slink Tones. Until next time, connect the unconnected, create the unexpected.